Welcome to Field Days, a weekly audio diary following the day-to-day life at Strecker Farms in Bighorn, Montana. I'm Sarah Brown. This week, Shane steps up his irrigation game as summer heats up. When my friend Jill heard I'd been in Bighorn to talk about irrigation with Shane Strecker, she groaned. Summers on her family's Kalispell farm were marked by helping her dad move hand-line irrigation pipes at dawn. She and her sisters would pull their work clothes over their pajamas, do their duties, then dive back into bed. Jill's childhood ordeal actually helped me better understand Shane's devotion to his center pivot.
And here you can see it's all kind of a uniform green color, so there's no problem. No problem here.
I mean, even I can look at this and say there's no problem. Right? It looks just perfect.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And center pivot irrigation is a method of crop irrigation in which wheeled towers of sprinklers rotate around a fixed point. It's what creates the circular patterns you see from the airplane. Pivots are expensive to set up, fiddly to maintain, but oh so worth it.
We can control the speed. We can control how many inches of water we put down. It's very efficient irrigation, very efficient form of irrigation. We can put...
Probably anything would be more efficient than three little girls moving pipe in their PJs, but Shane has this thing perfectly calibrated to perfectly irrigate all 143 acres of this sugar beet field. One advantage center pivots have over alternative systems that, say, use gravity flow is their ability to function in undulating terrain, like this field, which slopes up under the rocky Hysham Hills.
You know, and what does water do on a slope? It wants to run down instead of stay on the in the ground and soak up, you know, so the beets can utilize it all. So we really have to watch how fast we run the pivot, how much we put down. And we also spray an ingredient or a chemical which kind of opens up the soil so, you know, the water penetrates it so the water doesn't run. Because, like I say, once the water starts to run, then you have a mess. It piles up. We're in the low spots and the top gets dry, the higher spots get dry, and then you're kind of messed up for the season. So we really have to be careful, especially on this field here with this severe slope, this severe grade.
The center pivot's fine mist deposits a half to three quarters of an inch of water with each slow motion pass. And they're very slow, like 60 hours or so to cross a field and back, which is why you've probably never seen one moving. It can also disperse chemicals like fungicide and fertilizer, a practice known as foliar feeding.
You're just putting a little, like spoon feeding a little kid, you're just giving it a little bit of nitrogen at a time, which is also efficient. But there comes a time when a beet wants a lot of it right away to get that growth going. And so...
So it's kind of as needed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And a lot of times...
So far this season, Shane's beets are thriving. Even the July 5th hailstorm that ripped through the area caused only minimal damage. But Shane's watching everything all the time, including this 15-year-old center pivot itself, which on the regular can have a flat tire, a faulty U-joint, or electrical problems. They all can.
We have two good people, two good kids that are brainiacs that can figure it out. And that way we don't have to call service techs from Billings or Miles City in. And they, if they can't figure it out, it's really major. So at that point, then we'll have to call somebody down.
Okay, yeah. So are they notorious?
Shane's managing other expenses too, chiefly power. Bighorn River water is pumped from a nearby irrigation canal through an underground line to the pivot. From there, a booster drives it up the slope. That much pumping gets pricey in a dry year. Elsewhere on his farm, in addition to the electricity, Shane pays for every acre foot of water he uses, more if he exceeds his allowance. So far this year, costs have been slightly below normal, thanks to plentiful early spring rains. He began irrigating on June 1st.
We'll probably irrigate until September 1st.
September 1st, and then they like to dry out?
Yes, because we don't want to play in the mud when we're harvesting the beets. Yeah, we've done that a lot of times. It's not a lot of fun.
Next week, with the beet campaign still weeks away, Shane begins cutting his barley crop.
Field Days is produced by Sarah Brown and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio, theme music by John Cosell. More information on Field Days is available at ypradio.org.